and deciding whether or not we have quorum. And that's it, finally. And I now call for vote. Who is in favor of the articles as they stand, as amended, as I mentioned? Please vote no. Hello? We are deciding about the articles. I've called for the vote. Who is in favor of the articles as amended? Who is against the articles? No one? No saying? That sounds good. Thank you very much. Please. So now we have made our decision. I think at the same time, we have already discussed the question how to proceed with the election of officers and council members, meaning that we, I think we should step in at the point here, if I'm, or correct me if I'm wrong, that we will have a period of 2 weeks beginning early next week for suggestions for a list of nominees that we will have to be handled by the election manager, whoever that will be. I'll come back to that issue later. And that we have three periods of 1 week each, when we first elect the chairman and then elect the two deputies. And it will be done in the following way, at the very moment when we have elected the chairman, we will remove any nominee from the other list that is from the same region. When we have elected the first deputy, we will additionally remove all the candidates from the respective region from the third list, and then we will have a period of 1 week again when we will vote on the second deputy. That's the process I suggest. Is there okay? Any comments on that? No? Then we should vote on that one. Who is in favor of the process I outlined? Who is against? Who abstains? Thank you very much. Then we could move on to the next point, being who is the election manager.
I think it would be the easiest way if we find one who definitely tells us by today that he would not be willing to become an officer.
I personally did not make up my mind clearly whether or not I would be available. And therefore, I think it would be the best solution to find someone else who definitely is not available. Do we have volunteers? The election manager. No volunteers?
Yes, there's a hand raised over there.
Good. Thank you very much. Okay. So I think we should discuss a little about the details following today's meeting or over email. Good. Then we could move on to the report on the Provisional Names Council and the NSL. As I've said so much now, Hiro, how about you stepping in at the point?
Okay, report on Provisional Names Council and
the NSL. There were several
teleconferences in Names Council. And the main topics are the WIPO report and the procedures, internal procedures for the DNSO. And the other topics and the benefit on the web. So,
and the main problem was, or main issue was, that there were not enough input for the working group activities. Working group chairs want to have more input from every constituency. I think I don't have to go into detail about
the results of the working group. Okay. Is it okay?
Okay.
If I should like, I should like to add a little bit of my feelings about the work of the NAMES Council. NAMES Council currently is pretty provisional. And there's one camp within the NAMES Council that claims that we should not decide anything for the time being because we are so provisional, not even the members of the NAMES Council will continue have their posts will be replaced by others. For example, the CCTLDs have replaced all of the members to the NAMES Council by others, and there have been people including those coming from the CCTLDs claiming that we should not decide anything for the time being. I would say that we need to start our work and need to decide about the most serious points that have already postponed and delayed for so long time, including decisions regarding the new GTLDs. And finally, we have found sort of a compromise that partly officially, partly unofficially, working groups start their work and make recommendations to the NAMES Council, and the NAMES Council is then considering the recommendations and passing them on to the board. We have implemented 5 working groups or informal working groups. I think you can find details on the ICANN and DNSL website. I do not need to summarize that again. The problem is, as Hiro pointed out, that we were not able to provide enough input and participation to all the working groups. We have members in working group A and C, I think.
Yes.
We know about members of our of other associations. Pardon? Okay. I'm sorry. We are aware of members of other working groups that are either cooperating with members of this constituency or are members of the associations that are here. However, we need more focused input and we need volunteers that are really willing to participate and to provide our view to the working groups. I know that this is pretty hard. I personally am a member of the working group C dealing with GTLDs. And I've just been overcrowded by more than 1,000 emails in 4 weeks only. So it's pretty hard just to follow the emails. And if you have a business to deal with on a day-to-day basis, you will hardly manage it. But on the other hand, I think we are here to take care of the interests of the ISP industry. And if so, we need at least each of us a little bit provide our views to the public, and this needs to be done by participating in such groups. You're a volunteer, Bob?
It is this. It could be, and it may happen, that there are working groups created that are not of interest to our constituency. Since the bylaws are drafted such that we are forced to have a representative, even if we may not have a direct interest in the topic or actually that much to say about it, for example, trademarks, then our status is more observer than active participant, perhaps. Certainly, from a perspective of KICS, we would not get actively involved in the trademark discussion since that is not our core expertise or right from an ISP perspective. So, it is my, I did read the suggestions, however, I think it is an argument to enlarge the Executive Council because it is my opinion if there are no volunteers for the constituency to be on a working group, unfortunately, the Executive Council is going to have to cover it. That there's not going to be a choice because you cannot co-opt and force members of this constituency to participate in something since they simply won't do it. And that makes the responsibility of accepting this job as an executive actually, you know, real and with potential burdens because if there is or no representative or volunteer, it should fall on that executive council to be forced, if in the bylaws we have to be there, to sign up and monitor those lists. I don't see any way around it.
I think any approach saying that we are not interested in parts of the working groups will prove what people have been saying when the DNSO has been formed. At that point, there has been strong indications by some of the major players saying that ISPs do not have any role within the DNSO, because nothing what the DNSO does affects ISPs. And if we're now going to prove it by not participating, that would be pretty difficult. I understand what you're saying,
that
we have different roles in all the working groups. While we are in some working groups only observers, we are pretty active in other working groups. But nevertheless, we have to be there. We have to be present.
I'm not arguing the point. I'm saying here's the point. The point is, if you have no volunteers, then you're stuck with it. Is that you cannot co-opt and force anyone who's a member of this constituency to take on a job that they don't want to. So if you cannot convince someone to do it, then my recommendation is that is part of the job of the executive, is that they have to make sure these working groups are covered. And that's a responsibility you take on when you stand for election and are appointed.
You're obviously right that we cannot force people to be participants in a working group.
Right.
That's correct. I've been very reluctant about that idea already. But I think what I need to do and what I wish to do is encourage you, particularly the larger ISP trade associations that should be obviously able to provide input to the working groups and to provide people that are able to participate to help us in doing that. What I could do is I could register myself in each and every working group without actively participating.
Right.
But that's not what ICANN is looking for and what the DNSO is looking for. They are looking for us being an interface between the working groups and the ISP constituency, meaning that we have to read what's going on there, that we have to report about the activities of a working group at least to some extent, and that we have to solicit the interest of the ISP industry on one hand and the working group on the other. And that could only be done in an appropriate way if we have additional volunteers. I cannot force them, I know, but particularly you, Barb, and Rob and others, should consider whether or not we do not have people helping us.
No, I understand, but I want to bring up that point for the discussion again. I have no interest in giving input in a substantive way, for example, into Working Group B. Will not do it. Will not make a comment as an ISP association on famous trademarks. I will observe what is going on and make sure that my members are aware, because if they have an interest, they need to participate in that group. But we as an association or organization will take no active role in that working group.
However, to me it would be pretty obvious that Eric Lee could participate in working group B on behalf.
I could put him wherever I wanted him to, but I'm just saying if I do that, nothing will happen. As a substantive working, we will make no comments. We will give no opinion.
You don't need to take an active role there, but you need to be involved, you need to report briefly to the ISP
such
that we are in a position where we can react if we feel that's necessary to react, because the ISP people are doing weird things. That's what is necessary.
Exactly.
We need to be present, we need to be able
to
know briefly
what's
going on.
And I just want to make that is that there will be working groups in which our role is more observe and report rather than to actually try to direct and inform what's happening in that working group. And for example, that is one in which observation is the main role.
I think there's another firewall anyway, because the reports that are written by the working groups are submitted to the Names Council for further consideration. So there's nothing substantial that the working groups are producing that is written in stone. It's just for consideration of the Names Council. But nevertheless, it would be good if we have volunteers helping us to be informed on a day-to-day basis what's going on there, such that we are not surprised about what the working groups did and what the Names Council is considering just a few days before they make a decision on that.
Could we refresh which working groups are not represented by the, this constituency have no representatives in?
I think you have written the list.
Yes. But in the handout, members' participation in the some activities, I got present participants at Section 2. Working Group A, I am the person. but it was
I have an idea,
already.
But, are you
and in my list, working group B, D, and E doesn't have a member from ISP constituency.
You're in E?
Is it not?
You're in D. So,
okay.
Office.
So we don't have B and D member.
Sorry. I'll join B if it's just a reporting function. I mean, if it's something we feel that we just want to be aware of, I'll join B. Jonathan Cohen's heading B, and we live in the same city, so it should be easy to find out what's going on.
We have a member of our association of Cabase who signed up in E last Friday. His name is Jorge Plano. He's a very experienced negotiator and having to do with internet. I think he will do an excellent job of having presence there and keeping us informed.
Okay. Then we should officially nominate you and Jorge as representatives for the ISP constituency within that working groups. And you both should be, or should try at least try to keep us informed to some extent. I try to do the same with working group C, although I know that that's pretty difficult. Because part of the discussion I do not even understand. And I do not see the relevance of the discussion to the questions that have been put for consideration to working group C. However, there's one point regarding working group C. I think we have solved the problem of participation already, and now moving on to a specific problem with working group C. They have presented some questions to us, to the members of the working group, that we should vote upon. However, the process is still going on. Even the first question that has been voted on last week is not really answered. Only a few people have been participating in the voting. And to me, the picture is not quite clear. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, if you've got a difference. Rob? Hello, Rob. I'm just reporting about the voting in working group C. Did you get the impression that the question one has already been answered, although people voted on it? No. I read out the questions so that you get a feeling what's happening there. And question one, I do not read the details. Question one is how many new GTLDs and how fast? As most of you know, I'm pretty reluctant about the question of whether or not we should issue new GTLDs. I feel that this should be considered very carefully, but we should come back to the issue later. Because I need your input at the very moment when this comes to the NEMS Council for consideration. Question two is how to select TLD strings and registries. Question three is should registries be for profit or non-profit? How many GTLDs should they run? And question four is should ICANN require sharing of the GTLDs by several registrars? There have been lots of options that have been presented to members of Working Group C, but I would like to hear your opinion on the questions. And the first question is the most important to me. Should we issue new GTLDs, yes or no? And if yes, how fast? Personally, I'm very reluctant, as I said, because I feel that having new GTLDs, if it's only a few one, is a challenge to the industry and nothing else. It doesn't help at all. It's just a challenge to large corporations, to large brands to register in each and every office GTLD, which will make namespace scarce again. But as my personal opinion alone does not count, I would like to get your feeling on that. No opinions? Is that not of interest to you? Or not at all? Okay.
I don't think there should be. What? I don't think there should be new GTLDs in this rush fashion. I think this working group's got to slow down and consider should there be new ones as opposed to the question of how many should there be. I mean, they've got to back up a step almost and say, should there be new ones? My gut is no, there probably shouldn't. but certainly not in the next couple of months as everybody's trying to push it through and rush it through.
I think the way the NAMS Council will deal with the questions is just up to the NAMS Council. The questions have been asked not by the NAMS Council, but by a member of the working group. And if the NAMS Council decides to treat it in a different way, we will do it, I think. And I personally will strongly argue that we need to consider the question of having or not having GTLDs at all.
Yeah. Yes, before we get into a discussion about creating new GTLDs, I think the focus should be on establishing the criteria and framework under which they should be considered, so that we have some form of common approach, just to go headlong down the path of creating them ad lib, which is the wrong recipe.
But doesn't your approach imply that we already have agreed upon new GTLDs?
No, not necessarily. I don't think that's the case at all. But we need to get some framework under which any proposals can be considered. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the right way to go.
What could this framework be? Could it be a little bit more explicit?
Well, the focus to start with should be on what's currently missing and a criteria for establishing new TLDs against that criteria. And until you actually focus down on what's currently required that isn't there, then I don't think any work towards establishing new ones should be taken further.
Okay, I tell you, I think we should discuss the issue a little bit more in detail later.
Ask you what your opinion is of where the NAMS Council is heading. You've been sitting on this NAMS Council. Are they going to rush Pall-Mall to create these new GTLDs? Do they have enough capture by the core members to do it? What's your gut on what's going to happen with the NAMS Council?
I would not try to assess, because it makes no sense, whether or not the NAMS Council is captured by anyone. However, I feel that there are people within the NAMS Council who feel that we should rush to decide upon new GTLDs.
Is that something we should be addressing as a constituency to say, look, you know, we won't get into the details of should there be or how many or anything else, but more the process, you know, should we slow the process down and comment more on, we don't feel there's any need to rush, there's not, you know, let's take this very carefully and slowly, let's not just do something in a couple of months?
Maybe that could be an issue that we need to discuss. I would feel pretty comfortable if you provide me with your view such that I can say in an NAMS Council, okay, that's what my constituency wants to see, and therefore it doesn't count what my personal opinion is. That's what I have secret.
Well, I would like to remember that all these biking and all these meetings, the original reason to have these all established, I think it is not at least coming from the idea of some people that some additional top-level domain should be installed. So we should have these in mind, and now my, not personal opinion, but my feelings about these is, on one side, I recognize that there are a lot of companies which have a problem because their name is already taken in one top-level domain, and they have a problem. And so the general, but the basic idea was creating new top-level domains should be a mean to give other companies in different fields, possibly, the possibility to have the same name associated with some IP numbers. If companies misuse this possibility and the same company now register their name in the different top-level domains, then I would consider this is not the intention. And perhaps NAMS Council or whoever is dealing with that should take care about this possibility and maybe put some policy in work. So the original idea to give different companies with the same name the possibility to register in the
appropriate namespace should be valid. Because otherwise, I have to agree with you, Michael, then it's just making money. There's no sense about it. So, about the timing, it's hard to say. Now, a lot of people, they are pressing, and it might be reasonable to slow down. I have no meaning about that. Only thing is, it's taking now for years, so it wouldn't be really appropriate to take again years, but it must not be within a few months, obviously not, because if you rush, you may make errors. So this is also one of the reasons when we had this voting in the working group C, I was voting for the possibility to first install few and make some experience, and then maybe later add more to them. Well, that's my meaning.
I think whatever we decide, at some point in time, the problem needs to be dealt with and it needs to be solved, and we have to provide an answer at some point in time whether or not we want to have new GPLDs. If not now, then in 1 year's time, or at least at some point in time, it has to be clearly answered, the question. My personal point is, I agree with most of what Siegfried said, and my personal point is that we either should not have new GTLDs or should have lots of new GTLDs. I think that's the answer. Have lots of new GTLDs to avoid abuse, and from the very beginning to ensure that companies feel not forced to register in all of them, because they practically can't do that. Maybe even Coca-Cola cannot register under 5,000 new GTLDs or something like that. Nevertheless, that needs to be considered carefully and should not be answered the question or tried to answer at the current point in time where we have an NAMS council that is still provisional. It should be answered, I think, later on when we have a stable NAMS council, when we have had the opportunity to solicit input from the members of the constituencies and have had the opportunity to involve members of the constituency. At the current point in time, it has not even been possible to form an interface between working group C and U, because the pure crowd is so large that it's hard to follow, and timelines have been so short. The email has been sent out on 12th of August, calling for a vote by 18th of August, and just saying that the sender feels that we don't even need 6 days. We could solve the problem even earlier. I think that's no time frame where I can solicit input from a working group like that here. So my suggestion would be that we strongly apply to the NAMS Council to give time for more serious and more detailed consideration, and involve and give more time, more opportunities to involve the members of the constituencies. Yeah. I've seen two, you and you.
Just to express also my
could
agreement.
Speak a little louder?
Just to express my agreement with the Siegfried position. I also see these new GTLDs as possible problems to the stability of the network, and really I don't see many solutions coming from this. Maybe your choice to have a lot of new GTLDs may be the only revolutionary position, because to have a bunch of two or three more GTLDs, I don't see any progress in this.
I think you've been first.
From times I didn't join before my time, but I know from saying there was somebody who made the proposal to make 42 or 46 one according to the names trademarks rules. So the idea to have more than 7 or 10 is not so new. It might be a solution. I would like to come back to another. A major problem I'm noticing at the moment, that is the way working group C is working or not working. And maybe we should, as constituency or whatever, ask the interim board to, or somebody, or let's say we should discuss it, that this is not appropriate and that's not the way we will resolve anything. And this can happen to every problem we put in working groups. And this is a general, more general problem. I'm not talking about introducing new GTLDs or not. I'm talking about, I don't know, rules. I remember when we installed the NEC mailing list, one of our rules was that one person couldn't post more than 3 mails a day, for example. You see, in the morning I list these and then I see everybody who did send more than 10 mails, I just delete them, because that's nonsense. There are some practical points we have to resolve, which concerns every discussion we will have in future. Just forbidding people to accuse each other and to blame and all these things. Yeah, maybe we should say something about this.
Okay, if I try to summarize what I've heard. First of all, I've heard that we should not decide upon new GTLDs in rush too early. We should wait until the NEMS Council has been settling a little bit more than it is today. That, however, the NEMS Council now should take measures to achieve that the mailing lists in use can be used in a way, or that they're restructured in a way, or that the rules are applied in a way that they can generate results and not just a crowd of messages that no one can read anymore, particularly the serious people cannot read anymore because they have to take care of the business at the same time. That's the input I could provide to the NEMS Council regarding the new GTLDs, or is there anything else I should provide to the NEMS Council? Will that accommodate what you've been saying, Siegfried, and you? Okay, good. Thank you. I think we should move on then to the next point on the agenda. If there's nothing left to deal with by you here
yes.
Regarding the working groups?
I think that's all. It's done.
Okay, I think six procedures of electing long-term officers has been dealt with, and seven are priority issues of the ISPCP. Could you explain what your understanding of priorities is here?
Yes. What are the priority issues for ISPCP in the NSO activities? I'm not sure, because WGA, Working Group A, is not doesn't interest us so much. And what are the issues we have to talk about in the DNSO? So let's think about the items. We have to list up the items. That's an item.
Let me start the discussion that way. Is there any item that's obvious to you that has not been dealt with by the NEMS Council yet and should be picked up as soon as possible? Obviously not. Is there, please?
I think the ones they have, the ones we're looking at, they should be self-organized. They should be seen to be the priority, not to be
I agree. It has already been discussed in detail in San Jose. And there have been suggestions made according to which, first of all, we should build the house before we try to fill it with any details. And I agree, obviously. But nevertheless, it will be hard even to build structure at the current point in time because most of the members to the NEMS Council are still provisional. And they know that they will leave the NEMS Council pretty soon. So. Until we do not have a stable NEMS Council, we cannot, I think, agree upon the final structure. We have had some decisions. For example, we introduced the General Assembly. I think that was necessary, and that is a structure that, that has been deleted pretty soon, and it's now in place. But I think there are lots of organizational items left for consideration by the Men's Council. Is there any other point where you feel that although the Men's Council is already dealing with it, it needs to be prioritized in a different way? Barb.
And I actually think it is a working group, the matter that we see working out in the other working groups, which is if mail lists are going to become the primary method of actually doing work, that there needs to be really outlined procedures for using these mail lists for work. And that that means specifically probably a much more formal use of these lists as far as an agenda and time and maybe restrictions on postings, and that there needs to be real thought given to the formalities of using these lists to get work done. And I would suggest that, especially since we have this problem of people who cannot devote a lot of attention to mailing lists, that we need to bring that up as a serious concern of our constituency to get some formal agreement on how these lists will be used, since they will become the core method of working.
I absolutely agree with you. However, it's been pretty hard in the past to find ways which appear to be acceptable to everyone. The way we implemented it now is just because we didn't find any other way of restricting access to the mailing list. There have been ideas, for example, brought up by Javier Solá, who said that you need to be, or that, that you should limit the participation in working groups of, I think he said, 15 members. You do not necessarily need to agree with the proposal. However, that was the first step to restricting the traffic on the mailing list and to find ways to get input into and output from the mailing list that, that is usable. However, the result of his suggestion has been a storm of protest, and that he should not limit access to mailing list, that it should be pretty open, and any restriction applied to a mailing list would just demonstrate that it's no longer an open process. So it's pretty hard to find ways to assure what you want to get. However, you appear to have ideas how to do that. Couldn't we find ways, or could you help us, or could you try to come back with a proposal how this could be achieved?
I think that that Kix will join CAPE on the working group D, so that we can try to come up with some recommendations within that working group on this very specific point. I mean, I don't know how much other input that we can give on business plan and all of that, but certainly on actual pragmatic ways to work.
Because it's one point to claim that we need to limit discussions on the mailing list, and it's another point to suggest a way in, to do that that's acceptable to the overall community.
That's right.
Well, it looks like it's only the problem on the group C. Is that a fact, or do you have the same problem with so much mail going in and out on the list on the other groups?
Please use the mic.
It will be a general problem any time there's a topic of a working group that is extremely divisive and controversial, and that is probably, you know, working group D as well. And a lot of the controversy is not taking place on the mailing lists right now, but happening outside of that forum, because they consider the people that are involved in those other two, in A and B, who come out of much more corporate backgrounds, don't want to work on the lists in this way. So it doesn't reflect perhaps what's actually going on in the constituency, while in this GTLD one is a continuing discussion that is now over 3 years old. It's just been moved into a new mailing list.
Well, I think the problem with mailing list is the same one every time. You have the Jeff Williams type of people who just like to write lots of emails to mailing lists. They're just there to write emails. You have other noisemakers that are making noise just for the sake of making noise. There are noisemakers making noise for their own sake because they want to get a GTLD or get a hold of a GTLD or something like that. And there are interest groups who are putting a lot of resources into a discussion like that to achieve their interests, to help that. Their interest is well considered, and there are lots of people currently discussing about trademark issues in the working group C, for example.
But let's go back then. Is what I don't understand is why we would have people within working groups who are not members of a constituency. So that would preclude any postings from people who are not part of the DNSA.
That has been discussed, but on the other hand, you have to take into consideration that at least up to now, we have no constituency involving individuals. And on the other hand, at the very moment...
No, these are the General Assembly working.
And at the very moment when we have a constituency that is built for the individuals, I think all the individuals involved will become members of that constituency, so that doesn't solve the problem.
Okay. Andrew McLaughlin of ICANN has a perfect suggestion I think we may want to support, which is a way to... limit some of the traffic on these groups, if you will. He's come up with a system that will assign, there'll be a moderator panel, if you will, that will assign a value from 1 to 5 to each email message, 5 being, this is very important, everybody should see it, 1 being, it's just garbage, and you as an individual can pick what level you want to receive. So I'd like to receive 3 and above, or I'd like to see 1 and above, and everything's archived on the website, so you can always go back and see anything, but you can limit your discussion to how important the mail is, so you get rid of a lot of the noise. And he's looking at implementing that across all the groups, so that may solve some of this noise traffic. There'll be a panel pick of 4 or 5 that will essentially, yes.
Correct.
but no, you can choose to ignore it. You can choose to take it all, or you can choose to follow from others. But they don't stop anything. They just assign a rating to it.
Well, by the way, what I'm doing here is third-party rating as well, because I'm now interrupting you, and I have the mic and you haven't.
The other suggestion that's come out of the country code constituency is that the mailing lists go more to a format where some staff of the Names Council or the DNSO produce a paper, and then the mailing lists are used for comment on that as opposed to just a free-for-all. So that's certainly something that they'd like to see as well, as a position paper and then comments and amendments made specifically to it, as opposed to just a free-for-all with free voting and that type of thing.
I think we won't solve the problem today. However, I think what you've been saying is a clear indication that we need to apply structures and mechanisms that will help us to solicit input to working groups and not just use mailing lists as they are. Just opening them up and just hope that they will provide us with something reasonable. They won't. Okay. If you allow me to come back to the issue of priorities, is there any other point that you feel needs to be discussed and considered by the Names Council? Please. A little delay behind you, just... No? I'm sorry. No? Okay. Then I think we could move on to the outreach activities of the constituency. Andrew has forced us
to come back with a proposal how to deal with outreach activities by the constituency. I think here with Stavin at that point and discuss with you the proposal is already made.
Okay. As Mike has said, we have a paper. I can both request that to show some kind of evidence of outreach effort. And in this paper, here are the possible discussion items in general, although more effort of all the listed outreach items may not be necessary. They are the action items in general.
Okay. I think one point we could discuss is whether or not we need really outreach as the ISP and connectivity providers constituency. I think it's completely different in other constituencies, particularly the non-commercials, because non-commercial entities and individuals are not even aware of the fact that the DNSO is affecting themselves. On the other hand, if any ISP of this world does believe that he has nothing to do with the DNSO, I think he does not necessarily need to become a member of the ISP and connectivity provider's constituency. If he does not feel affected in any way by the domain name system, okay, it's up to him. Pardon? Well, on the other hand, I think whoever needs domain names as an ISP, or whoever needs to provide his customers with domain names, will become aware of the structures pretty soon. Because first of all, he has to consider where do I get .de.com and other domain names, and if I do not get what I need, who is responsible for that?
I would just like to comment briefly on the outreach. Coming from an ISP background and talking with some of the U.S.-based state-level ISP association was, none of these people have any idea of what's going on with the DNSO, have no idea about the ISP constituency. As far as the vast majority of providers that are regional and local in scope, they've been clamoring for information. They come to me and ask me, in the various efforts I'm involved in, what's going on with these to report back on. One of the reasons I'm here today is to give them some feedback on what's going on. And so I think the constituency of ISPs is largely uninformed about the process, have no idea even where to go to get involved. So there definitely needs to be some level of outreach effort if you wish to truly represent the people that are providing internet service. If your goal is just to represent, you know, some select part of that, then maybe outreach effort isn't needed.
I have a suggestion to make. I think that possibly one thing we could do, which might the ICANN might might approve of, would be to put a banner in the association websites with a link to the consistency what a lot of people come into associations looking for information on this type of thing. It happens to us at least in Kabasi. And if we have a visible banner on the homepage alerting to the existence of the ISBCP constituency, and they can link on that banner directly to the web, I think that's a pretty valid form of outreach, and it would contribute to going doing what ICANN wants us to do.
Okay, just one thing to add. Just
What you just said, Michael, I'm perfectly sympathetic with that. And on the other hand, what you just put out, that's exactly the situation in the world. So maybe we can take a bit different approach. I don't think that we need constantly an outreach program for years and years to come. But in this initial phase now, it should be very well communicated to the world, to this world, to the ISP world, and not to small ISPs. I think we can't reduce it to the business standpoint, saying, well, folks, it's your business, and when you're dumb, it's your fault. Then immediately, I think, and I fear, it will come to legitimacy questions concerning the ISPCP group or the constituency in itself. So planning an outreach program or designing an outreach program on the way you were just describing, putting a banner and basic information and thinking about further initiatives, that means articles in business magazines and something like that, is needed, but only now in this initial phase of founding the whole structure.
But my question still is, do we need an outreach program for the ISP constituency, or do we need an outreach program, and that is where I perfectly would agree with, do we need an outreach program for the DNSL as such?
Yeah.
I think we need an outreach program for ICANN and the DNSL.
Yeah.
To inform the distributed information that there is an organization dealing with domain name and the domain name system, and with policy issues regarding the domain name system.
Okay.
That's what people need to know.
Exactly, but on the other hand, who knows the channels in his business or her business better than the members of the several constituencies.
Right.
So they can help profoundly. That would be my approach. Of course, you're right, there's an outreach program for DNSL and ICANN, not necessarily for ISPCP, but we should participate and support that.
Could I get additional ideas on that? That would be very, very helpful, because I feel a little lost.
I think we couldn't think of an advertising campaign. I mean, the cost would be prohibitive. But if anybody knows Larry King and Garen his program, that might be helpful too.
I would like to second the setting up the web page and the banner links with the ISP associations. I think that would be very helpful. I think it would also be good to contact the listed contacts of the ISP associations and have them help get the word out. Certainly, by using these groups, each with several hundred members or thousands of members, it's easier to send the one email to that group and let that group be responsible for communicating information to its members than it is for us to try and fan that out directly. Certainly more cost effective.
But let's say, since we've been doing this for 3 years, and have our list, which contacts the associations, and discuss this, and put this on agenda at trade shows, and nobody shows up because they'd rather be in BGP4 or Marketing 101, and these policy matters are not of absolute and fundamental interest, in my experience, for 3 years now, among the association executives themselves, whose interest and attention is almost totally consumed by state-level political issues for which they are completely and thoroughly overwhelmed, and that this, up to now, is a matter, at least in the U.S. in our experience, in which the small companies have only a tangential interest in participation. And even filtering that through the associations has not been successful. And I would be interested in the other association experience, even in Europe, of how much this is filtered through the national associations down to the level of single companies. It's extremely difficult, especially in the domain name space, to find that level of interest in the domain name space. It just doesn't grab the heart of an ISP.
well, our experience is that there is, of course, an interest. On the other hand, ISPs feel that this is lots of ISPs feel that this is a business that needs to be dealt with by the trade associations, and they will do it. And don't bother me. That's the answer I can get from time to time. Don't bother me with issues like that because he will take care of it.
Yes, I agree with Barbara. The experience in Latin America when we tried informing this federation, which we have now, EcomLAC, we've even been in contact with ISP associations in countries such as Paraguay. They don't know what ICANN is, and quite frankly, we haven't even been able to get them to come to a meeting or express any interest whatsoever, although they're involved as associations in ISP activity. So it's not all that popular, let's say.
Sorry. I really think more than something like an outreach program, I would think we'd better need something like an educational program. It's really my experience that as you said, there's very little knowledge here and what the ICANN is, what the ICANN is doing, what the groups are doing. You say you've been working for 3 years in this constituency, but on this problem. And I've been running name servers since 1992, and I now run what I think is the second or third biggest name server in Chile, and I've never heard of this organization, not one time. And I'm really interested in what it's been discussed here, but I haven't had the opportunity, I haven't heard about you at all. So I think I really do support the need to get out and spread the word of what you're doing.
Again, I completely agree with you, but the question is, should an educational program be implemented by the ISP constituency or by the DNSO? I think it should be the DNSO as a whole.
I disagree to a certain extent. I mean, the educational program and why this is important and what issues are important probably should be the DNSO. However, we have to appear and for the most part, have to outreach to our own constituency members or potential members. They may not join. I agree with Barb. There's a lot of apathy out there. They're just ISPs are running too hard and couldn't care less about some of the policy issues. But we have to be seen to make the effort to at least let them know that they can join and that, this is happening. And I mean, I like the idea of a website, communicating. I think it may be simple, a simple matter of Barb and associations like ourselves that are national. We know who the local state ones are. Just send them an email saying, hey, this is happening. Go here for more information. If we do that, that may have to be the extent of our outreach. They may not join. I expect they won't. But at least we've informed them so that we don't get the situation like this gentleman there. He says, I had no idea what was going on. If we take the bull by the horns and outreach and inform people that's going on and they choose not to, then we've done our duty. And I think that's what ICANN's really looking for, is have we taken the efforts to make sure every possible member of the constituency is aware that they can be members and what's happening.
I'd like to propose, since everybody seems to think the idea of a web banner might be useful, perhaps as a volunteer who could design a banner and send it as a gift file to all the participants in the constituency, so we can put it on our website. Have a uniform banner, let's see.
I think what we could do additionally is every one of us try to give notice to, in the case of trade associations, to its members, and in the case of large ISPs or any ISPs, to the ISPs that they are aware of in their respective country or in the respective environment where they are active in. I think this is what we could do. And to provide a web server, or at least web space on the DNSO's web server, containing sufficient information that you could follow up to the request when you receive it. Would that be okay? Any additional points?
Yeah. Okay.
I would add that all of us who are aware of the existence of other associations who are not involved in this process, perhaps we can communicate with them on a one-to-one basis and try and get them involved, or at least to put this this banner on their website.
Okay. Good. What I would like to do finally before you leave the room is to write your organization's and personal name down to a piece of paper, such that we are, such that we know who has been participating in this meeting and who has been voting.
I have a bit of a point of order for something that we skipped over earlier, which was there was a paper handed out in addition to the articles that described the election procedures. I assume they'll be amending that now to coincide with the amendments from the articles that we made. But, okay.
Okay. Interesting. Could you please take care of the fact that nothing, no one leaves the room without having signed down? And I'm now going over to the last point, any other business, and there's one point
Barbara,
I would like, yeah, just a moment, before it gets lost. There's one point I wanted to mention. We have been discussing about what is important to the ISPs, and besides the DNSO and the ISP constituency, there is currently another point even more important to the ISPs, and that's the ASL. There has been a meeting yesterday in the evening between representatives from the ISP industry, including ISP trade associations and telcos and individual ISPs with Hans Kleinbrink regarding the policy and the view that the ICANN board would take with regard to the formation of the ASL. I think you're all aware of the fact that we have now two proposals on the table, one being a proposal that has been submitted by several ISP trade associations in February and another one coming from the IIRs. And there's lots of discussion on how we should proceed. The ICANN board seems to feel that it will ratify the IIR's proposal. And that's a point where we've considered that we need to come in with another proposal, but I think to all of you who are interested in that point, I would encourage you to stay with us and to discuss that later when we have closed this meeting. And now I'll hand over to Barb.
Meeting for has been changed. It's going to take place back in the Crown. The ASO meeting has been moved to the Crown Plaza, and it's only for an hour, from 2:30 to 3:30. So just note that it was changed this morning.
That's not our internal discussion. That's the official ASO meeting, right?
The one that's supposed to start today at 2:30.
Right.
Not our discussion.
The meeting
the
IRS called for.
The agenda meeting.
Right.
The agenda item has been changed.
Have they set back the DNSO meeting so we can participate in that one also?
No, it's starting at 2:30, but evidently the ASO meeting will only be an hour, which would allow some participation by people here also in the DNSO meeting.
It's a pity that they shouldn't be overlapped.
Yeah, well, that's another matter.